Just going to pray with Steph as he comes to speak to us. Lord, we thank you for your servant, Stefano, and we ask your blessing on him. Give him your words to say, and we pray that your spirit will prompt our hearts from his words. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, good morning. I'd like to start just by reading the passage we're going to be looking at today. So there it is on the screen. If you have your Bibles, I'd very much recommend getting your Bibles out, looking there. And if you don't have one, there are blue ones all about the place. So I'm going to be jumping from different passages a little bit today. Luke 17, verse 11 to 19 says this. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I don't know what necessarily is the first thing that stands out to you about this passage. I think that the one that obviously catches our attention is kind of the ungratefulness of those 9 men who didn't come back to Jesus. But while I was preparing for this talk and thinking a bit about this passage, something struck me. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized it was actually quite odd. Because often when we're reading about Jesus and about the ways he goes and heals people, he's normally quite intimate with those people. He normally goes up to them and touches them to heal them or speaks to them personally. He doesn't just like call out from the other side of the street saying like, "Go on, off you go to the priests." He often goes up to them, prays for them, and heals them that way. And so I was kind of thinking, like, what's happening here? Why isn't Jesus going towards those men with leprosy? Or why isn't he inviting them to come over to him? And I feel like perhaps the emphasis on this story is about coming and giving thanks to God. But even simpler than that, about just coming back to him in the first place. You know, we can't actually give thanks to him unless we come back to him in the first place. So that's kind of what I hope you guys get from this, is that actually we're called to be in relationship with Jesus and with God, and that involves coming back to him daily, every single day, putting our focus on him. So I realize it's quite a simple message. So yeah, it's not going to be any like massive revelation, I don't think, but I hope to encourage us and challenge us to do it a bit more. And I'd also like to perhaps share a few ways that I've found helpful in doing this and helping me to come back to Jesus every day. I think this passage also needs a little bit of context put around it, because often in the Bible we read stuff and there's like little bits that just don't quite make sense or a bit strange, just because they're from a different time, a different place, a different culture. And so we meet these 10 men stood outside this village as Jesus is going into the village. And these men have leprosy, or that's what it says in the text, is that they have leprosy. Normally that's just kind of any skin condition, but they say leprosy. And so these men with this skin condition would have been shunned from the community, from the society, perhaps in permanent exile from the community, depending on what kind of skin condition it was, whether it would get better or not, or perhaps just temporary. But they were deemed unclean. They were deemed to be avoided at all costs. They were not to be interacted with. And only when they were better, the only way for them to come back and integrate back into society was to go and see the priests. And the priests would check them over, make sure that they are better, and then they could enter back into community. And this kind of, I guess, helps us understand why Jesus told them to go off to the priests to check. But it's strange, because they weren't actually healed when Jesus told them to go. They went just with hope and with faith that Jesus was powerful enough to somehow make going to the priests to make them better. And so Jesus would have been known as like a rabbi or a teacher or perhaps even a great prophet. So they had hope. They had a bit of faith that Jesus could help them just by telling them to go to the priests. So that's what they did. And they went off to the priests and they were healed. And that's amazing. But then we get to the part that kind of gets our attention, that only one man came back to Jesus. Only one man came back to say thank you. And the rest just kind of get on with their day. And so this raises the question for me, and I question myself daily, are we like the nine men who kind of have an experience with Jesus, interact with him maybe once a week on Sundays, and then the rest of the time just get on with our day, and the rest of the time don't maybe fit him into the equation or don't come back to him to thank him for what he's done? Put simply, how often do we come back to him? Do we return to give praise? And this question, as I was thinking about it, is actually really central to everything we believe as Christians. Because at the center of our faith is the gospel. And these are, I realize, very simple things, but it's so important to repeat them because we so often lose sight of them, I think. This idea of coming back to Jesus is at the center of the gospel. Because the gospel is that we were created in the image of God and to be in relationship with him. But because of our own tendencies, our own nature to turn in on ourselves, to focus on ourselves rather than God, that has separated us from God, we can't have this relationship of love that God wants for us. And we can't be in that family with him. And so that is when Jesus came down, and he came down to mend us, to reconcile that relationship between us and God, so we could spend time with God, so we could come back to him. And so when the nine men didn't come back to Jesus, we can kind of start to understand why Jesus may have seemed a bit frustrated or a bit harsh to that one man who did. Because Jesus' ultimate priority, the thing he wants most for all of us in everyday life, is for us to come back to our Father God, to be in relationship, in friendship with God. A couple of bits of scripture from the Bible which show this is Galatians 4-7, which says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those to sonship. Because you are his sons or daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries, calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." And so Jesus' priority, God's priority, is that we may know that we are children of God and can be in relationship with him. Another passage which shows this is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4-5, which says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will." So it is his pleasure, it is his desire for us to know ourselves as children of God, to be in relationship with him daily. And I don't know about you, but it would seem very odd, very strange, if we called ourselves friends with someone or we said that we were in a relationship with someone, but never actually came back to them and talked to them or saw them ever. Or even if it was just we saw them once a week and we had a quick chat on our way to work or whatever, I'm not sure we'd say we're in a close friendship with that person. But that is what God's calling us to. He's calling us to a close friendship with God. Something else I'd quickly like to highlight is the fact that the man who came back was a Samaritan. It was like just thrown in as kind of an off comment in the passage, it seems like, and he was a Samaritan. But I think there's some significance to this, because in that culture, the Samaritans were despised by the Jews, and they weren't deemed to be in God's promises. They weren't deemed to be able to get any of the blessings from God. The Israelites thought that was exclusively for them, that all the blessings and promises that God had given them from Moses all the way through had been solely for them and not for the Samaritans. And so for a Samaritan guy to kind of grasp this more quickly than the Israelites, to come back to God and understand what Jesus is talking about quicker than the Israelites, it kind of pricked my ears up, being like, how often, because I do a theology degree, I study scripture, I read it, how often do I just read it and then get on with my day? And I've got used to it, and so I'm almost a bit bored of it, and that awe and wonder of God has kind of been lost on me. Like, the Jews, they grew up learning scripture. They'd be able to recite passages, chapters, even whole books of the Old Testament, and that is some heavy stuff. And they'd be able to just recite it off by heart, but they didn't get it. They didn't get the meaning behind it. And I think for us, sometimes, if we're coming to church regularly, sometimes we can forget the awe and wonder when we're in little quiet Faversham of God, the creator God, who we can have relationship with. Like, this God is so powerful that he can raise people from the dead, create the universe just by speaking, and he's inviting us to be his children. He's inviting us to be in relationship with him. And sometimes I think that awe and wonder is, we forget it, or we lose some of that, don't we? And so I think the point is this, that what I'm trying to get at is that being a Christian is all about relationship with God. It's all about relationship with Jesus. It doesn't, being a Christian does not mean that you experience God once. The 9 men with leprosy, they experienced God transform their lives one time, but they didn't come back to him. Being a Christian is not about getting free handouts from God or having your prayers answered. Again, the men with leprosy, they probably prayed, and in fact, they did get their prayers answered. They were healed, but they never came back to Jesus. They missed the point. Being a Christian isn't even about being a good person or being passionate about a cause that you feel God has put on your heart. Even though those things are really important, that is not what it is to be a Christian. And to be a Christian means to come back to God, to be in relationship with him every day, making him your priority over everything, which is quite a scary thing, because it means putting him above and prioritizing him more than your family, your work, your passions, your desires, everything. And that's quite scary, because often I don't want to give up on my desires. I quite like the things I like, and I want to carry on doing them. But if God asked me to stop doing that, would I have the courage, would I have the love for him to stop those passions? Would I prioritize him? I'm not sure, but I hope I would. And this isn't the only place in the Bible that we see people turning away from Jesus, even after he's done an amazing miracle. We see in the feeding of the 5,000, a very famous story, but I think a bit that's often left out is the bit afterwards, when the people carry on chasing Jesus and ask him, what was all that about? You just fed us with like 5 bits of bread and a couple of fish. Like, how did you do that? That's crazy. And then Jesus starts telling them the true meaning of the gospel. And in chapter 6, verse 66, it says, if I can find it in my notes, I can't. But it says something along the lines of, many of his disciples stopped following him that day. That's crazy, isn't it? Like, these people just experienced the most incredible miracle, one of the big signs of Jesus that he is God, and they don't get it. They turn away from him. They stop following him. And so I kind of was thinking, like, what does God have to do to get these people to understand, to grasp that he is God and that he loves them and that he wants the best for them? He wants to transform their lives. He wants to heal them. What does God actually have to do for these people? He's healed people with leprosy. He's fed people, he's done all these incredible things. What does he have to do to get them to grasp this? And I can understand why Jesus might be a bit frustrated after thinking a little bit about this. But what he did was he gave his whole being, himself, his whole life, so that we may know that we are his children, that we're loved by him. I recently watched a film called The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. And it's quite a famous story. It was made into a book a couple of years ago, and more recently a Netflix film, and it's a very good Netflix film, recommend. But it follows the story of a 13-year-old boy called William Kamkwamba from Malawi. And in the story, there's issues with rainfall and chopping trees down. And basically, it results in them having no food for the dry season. They can't plant, they can't irrigate their crops, they can't get any more food at this point because the rain has stopped for the year. That is it. That is all the food they're getting, and they have a small amount, maybe just enough to get them through. But there's a food shortage in the rest of Malawi, and people turn to stealing food to get by. And this is a true story, by the way. Yeah, so people start stealing food to get by, and a group of men come and they steal the small amount of food William's family had to see them through the dry season. At this point, kind of reeling from the traumatic experience of being robbed from and in complete despair, not knowing how they're going to get through the dry season, William's sister storms out of the house and just breaks down in front of her mother, saying, there's no food, to which her mother replies, "And so you think I'd let you starve to death? When I cut off my own arm to feed you, then you'll know you're my child." And that hit me when I heard that, because it reminded me of Jesus. You know, like, we were in that place, weren't we? I was starving without God in my life. I didn't have that satisfaction that he gives me. I didn't have a relationship that sustains me with him. I was lost and confused without him. And he cut off more than his own arm. He gave his entire body to feed me and to sustain me. And that is the ultimate sign that he loves us and wants us to spend time with him. That's the ultimate sign that he wants us to be in relationship with him. And even now, even after Jesus has done that, I can still relate with the 9 men, because I often wander off and forget about it. I forget that wonder and awe of God's love, which is ridiculous, I think. And it's something to say sorry to God about, because I think we all do it, and it's something we need to remind ourselves that he calls us into relationship because he loves us, and he's proved that in so many ways by giving his whole self to us. So why do I find in my life, why do we find in our life that sometimes it's so difficult to come back to him every day? Why do we sometimes find that in our life he just gets cluttered out by menial and unimportant things? Well, because I think sometimes because part of being human is that we're fallen, so we need to remember that we need to come back to Jesus. But sometimes we're just too busy, aren't we? Sometimes we've got too much stuff going on and we cannot physically fit another thing in. Sometimes we don't know how to spend time with God. We kind of make the time and we sit there and we're like, okay, what? And we try praying or we try reading our Bible, and that gets tiresome and boring because the Bible is a long slog sometimes, but also it's amazing. Sometimes we simply just don't want to. Sometimes I've definitely felt this, where I've got better things to do. I want to watch a Netflix film, or I want to go and play football, or I want to go and hang out with my friends, when actually sometimes they're good things. Those are good things, don't get me wrong, but sometimes I need to prioritize my relationship with God before I prioritize my relationship with anyone. Because actually my relationship with other people comes from my relationship with God. Sometimes I don't feel like I can. And sometimes we might feel inadequate coming before the all-powerful God. And sometimes, as I said, we just forget. But when we begin to come back to God daily, a transformation does take place in our lives. And it might not be obvious, it might not be radical like we see the men with leprosy, but it does happen. And it happens in subtle ways, like we just notice him more in our everyday life. We might experience his presence in a stressful situation that normally we get really stressed out in, but we remember actually there's a peace and a hope beyond that situation. And so how do we do it? How do we come back to God? At this point, I feel like I should point out that I'm not an expert. I'm definitely not. And there are people in this room that I'm speaking to, which is very funny, that I know are far more intimate with Jesus. But I just wanted to share some of the ways that I found helpful, just coming back to Jesus and knowing him and being with him more regularly. I think that kind of touches on my first point, is that we need community around us, don't we? I wouldn't be here unless I had people around me that could support me and encourage me and pray for me. A lot of you guys are praying for me, and I'm so thankful. And it's great because I can come back to people who are a bit further on in their journey and ask them, how did you get over this bit of scripture that just doesn't make sense? Or how do you pray? Like when I sit there and pray, it just feels like I'm just sat there and nothing's happening. How did you get over that? And that's a great thing about being in community, especially with people older than you and with more experience that can show you the way. And also just having friends around you that can encourage you and support you through that. I think that's really important. My second piece of advice would be reading the Bible. It's very straightforward stuff, but it is so important. And I've only been reading the Bible kind of more regularly for about 2 years. Before that, I did not read the Bible at all. Sometimes I find it a really hard slog. Sometimes when I'm reading through genealogies or how the tabernacle was made, it is dull and it is really boring. But at other points, it is so exciting and I just can't get enough. When I read passages like that Ephesians passage or the Galatians passage, I'm just like, what? That is crazy. I want more of this. And I can't, I just can't read it enough. But however I found it, again, I found it transforming me subtly, slowly, gradually. It's not always like God just sends down a lightning bolt and like pff, your whole life is transformed. But gradually, over time, the more we get to know God, the more he transforms us to be like Jesus, to be in his image. And so some common issues I think I find when I read my Bible is that I just don't know what to read. I don't know where to start. It's a big book with 66 books in it. And how are you meant to narrow down from one book out of those 66? It's hard. But sometimes I just pick a random book. I'm just like, I'll go for Ephesians, or I'll go for something in the Old Testament. I'll just pick a random book and just work my way through it, chapter by chapter, one chapter a day or something like that. Sometimes I follow a reading plan, and there are so many online if you have access to the internet, or you can find them. I'm sure the church have some that we can give out. I don't know. but yeah, there are loads online that you can have access to. One really good one that I've found really helpful is called Word Live, and they're from Scripture Union, and they send you an email every day with a passage, some context to that passage, and then a reflection, which I've found really helpful. And sometimes it might take me ages to get through a book. Sometimes it might take me like months to just get through one book, and that's fine. Sometimes it might take me like one day, and that's fine as well. But I think however we prefer reading, maybe we prefer audiobooks as well. And again, there are audio books of the Bible online. But sometimes I just spend a few days just reflecting on one verse, and I found that really quite helpful. And the other thing about the Bible that has really helped me is a company. They're not for profit, but they're called The Bible Project, and they are amazing. They do little videos of each book of the Bible, and they're free on YouTube, and they give you a lovely overview, and it's really helped my understanding of the Bible. And another thing, I guess, that we struggle with when coming back to God is prayer. So we've got community, we've got the Bible, and we need those two things definitely for us to come back to God and to get to know him more. But the other thing is prayer. And this is probably part of my relationship with God that I've struggled with the most. I'm not the chattiest sort of person, and so I find it hard just sitting there and talking. And when people said, oh, it's just like a conversation with a friend, yes and no, because you can't, I don't know, maybe you've had experiences where you can see God and hear him, but I don't think that's commonplace, and most of the time it doesn't feel like we're talking to anyone. But a few things I found really helpful with praying is reading through the Bible and just using a passage to base my prayers off. The Lord's Prayer is always a good one. Or just, yeah, any other passages you find in the Bible. Or praying through my day, just kind of visualizing and imagining what my day is going to be like and praying through each situation. Or if I'm doing it at the end of the day, just praying through what I've experienced that day. That's helped me as well. But I've found that my best and, I guess, most powerful prayer experiences have come from, I guess, mirroring what the one man who came back to Jesus did. I found it far better to go slowly and to stop and to pause and just to reflect on who God is and what he's done for me. That's the coming back to Jesus bit. And that almost always leads into a time of thanking him. That's the falling at Jesus' feet and praising him bit. Because when we start to just ponder and think about and reflect on God's goodness to us, God's love, his intimacy, the relationship he wants with us, it really starts to transform our prayers because we start to pray for things he wants, for his will to be done and not ours. And that's really amazing. One last thing I found helpful is just reading about stuff. So I've read a lot about prayer recently, and that's really helped, and that's where I got all these points from. So that's really helped me. And listening to Christian podcasts and stuff, which just explains stuff and is really simple stuff. It's not going to blow you away, but it is helpful. And actually, one book that I've noticed we've got at the back is called A Celebration of Discipline, and that's about kind of spiritual disciplines, about kind of prayer and reading your Bible and stuff like that. And that's actually, I've read parts of that book, not the whole book, but it's a really good book. And so we've got it. Go for it. Go and read it. But what I want to finish up on is this. In John chapter 15, this is the part in Jesus' life where he's having his last kind of monologue, I guess it is, with his disciples. And the last few chapters of the book of John are all Jesus' words. And in chapter 15, it says this. If I am the vine and you are the branches, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Without coming back to me, you can't do anything. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words, the word, the Bible, remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Just want to read that again. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That's amazing, isn't it? It's quite hard hitting as well. Apart from me, nothing of meaning and true value, at least. Because I think God wants relationship with us. And he works through us when we're in relationship with other people. And we can't do that. We can't bear fruit for God. We can't show his love and kindness to other people unless we spend time with him every day, getting to know a bit more about him, getting to know him a bit more, getting to know what his passions are a little bit more. We can't show God's love in this world without getting to know him more. And that's reflected in that last bit. This is to my Father's glory. So we need to come back to Jesus, like that one man without leprosy now did. We need to come back to Jesus and thank him for all he's done. Remain in him, and you'll bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory. This is to God's glory. Yeah, let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you promise us that your Spirit is living in us and giving us peace and power. And I thank you, Lord, that it doesn't. Thank you so much that it doesn't rely on us, on our performance or anything like that. But it's only by you working through us, being in relationship with us, that we can do anything of meaning. Lord Jesus, I thank you. And I just pray, Lord, that over this week, however much time we have, whether it's 10 minutes or 5, I just pray that you may prod us and remind us and challenge us to come back to you, to praise you, to thank you for all that you have done, for you're a good, good God. And we want to show you to the world, Lord, because we have experienced your love. Amen.